Ooh.
Drive to left. Forget it. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. They no doubter. Leover Paguero. A three-run blast. That's his sixth. There's some insurance in KC.
Well, Cole Reagans was fantastic again for the Royals. Unfortunately, the bullpen was not good at all. Cole Reagans was terrific last night for the Royals. Seven innings, three hits, no runs, a walk. He struck out nine, a career-high 108 pitches, 72 of them strikes. He finished the month of August with 53 strikeouts, trailing only Dennis Leonard's 55 strikeouts in June of 1977 for the most by a Royals pitcher in a single month. And seven starts as a Royal, Cole Reagans' ERA is 1.73, which led J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Royals, to say he's earned a spot in the rotation next year. You don't say, because the Royals have so many options that Cole Reagans somehow would be fighting for a spot in this rotation. Cole Reagans could throw right-handed instead of left-handed and have a chance of being in this rotation next year. I was like, dear Lord, could you point something out a little more obvious? Listen, after his first start of his career with the Royals, you should have said, you know what? He's earned a spot in the rotation. The only person that's earned a spot in the rotation next year is Brady Singer and J.J. Piccolo. That's it. That's it. Daniel Lynch can't stay healthy enough. Who else do you got? Who else you got? Zach Greinke's not signed. He'll probably, maybe he'll retire at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no options. Of course he's got, unless you're going to go to a one-man rotation, of course Cole Reagans has a spot in the rotation. I start laughing like, how dumb do you think we are? I know he doesn't mean it that way, but it's, to me, it was a little insulting. I'm like, you needed, let me get this straight. You needed him to pitch in seven games, and you needed another couple games to figure out he should be in the rotation next year? You have hardly any other options, for crying out loud. Anyway, the bullpen blew it last night. Royals bullpen gave up six runs, final two innings. If it was a 21-out game, the Royals would have won. Carlos Hernandez gave up two-run homer in the eighth. Steven Cruz made his major league debut, and it was not good. Gave up four runs in the ninth. Pirates' first-ever series win at the K. Now they can go to their first-ever series sweep at the K. Royals are 41-93. Pirates 60-73. They finish the series tonight, and Angel Zerpa, who I would say probably not in rotation next year, but who knows? He's 1-2 with ERA of 7.79. Does J.J. Piccolo need to come out and say he probably has not a decent shot to be in the rotation? Or maybe he does have a really good chance of being in rotation. I have no idea. Anyway, the bottom line is there is a little hope with Cole Reagans, as he was good again last night, but not good enough for a win. Matt Cotrero on his lefty.
Continuation of what he's been doing. All of his pitches effective around the zone, in the zone, getting chased when he needed it, swing and miss in the zone. You know, I would guess he might tell you it probably wasn't his best command. He lost some balls arm side, but was able to correct. And his stuff's so good that, you know, even when he was behind in the count, he was getting swing and miss.
His stuff's so good that I think he's going to be in the rotation for the Royals next year.
I think it'd be a good idea.
I think that's a brilliant idea by J.J. Piccolo. San Francisco Giants right-hander Alex Cobb came an out away last night from recording a no-hitter against the Reds. Man, that guy in right field was so close to catching it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Alex Cobb didn't surrender a hit until two outs in the ninth. He is one out away. Red second baseman Spencer Steer drove a ball to right field, evaded outfielder Luis Matos, and the Giants still won 6-1, but he lost the shutout and the no-hitter with one swing of the bat. So, so close. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Chiefs' cutdowns yesterday. We'll talk about a few KU, K-State players that made or didn't make rosters. Also, we'll play part of Chris Kleiman's press conference from yesterday for K-State in Focus. And there's an interesting tie to Kansas in regards to the head coach of Southeast Missouri, who K-State's going to play on Saturday at 6 o'clock in Manhattan at Bill Snyder Family Stadium for the season opener. But we throw it to Dusty for local sports information and local sports results from yesterday in volleyball and tennis.
Yeah, we got quite a bit here today for local sports. Volleyball yesterday, the Northern Plains League Pike Valley Triangular, as Osborne went 2-0. They beat Pike Valley in 2 and then beat Lakeside in 3. So Osborne 3-1 here to start the season. Lakeside beat Pike Valley in 2 in the other match. The Lady Knights start 1-1. St. John's tipped off to a 4-0 start as they won both of their matches yesterday at the Triangular in Tipton, as they beat Natoma in 2 and Rock Hills in 2. Rock Hill starting the season 1-1 as they beat Natoma in 2 in the other match. So when Lucas 2-0 to start the season, beat Thunder Ridge in 2, and they also beat Southern Cloud in 2. And Thunder Ridge beat Southern Cloud in 2 in the other match. The Liddy Longhorns are 2-2 this year to start. Stockton Triangular Lincoln beat Tescott in two, but Stockton beat Lincoln in two in the other match. Stockton's now 4-0 here in their first four matches in the Northern Plains League as they beat Tescott in two as well last night. Mid-Continent League, Smith Center opening out the season in great fashion. They beat Trigo and Plainville both in two and really controlled both of those matches. I had a chance to go up there and watch the Lady Red last night, and they do look good. As we talked with Coach Lynn yesterday, he said his depth is going to be a concern, and that will be a concern if they have any issues with people not being able to play this year. But they do have a very quality top, about seven or eight, and they should be pretty solid again this year at Smith Center. Again, they start the season 2-0 with wins over Trigo and Plainville. Tennis yesterday, the Phillipsburg tournament, team-wise, Phillipsburg and Osborne both had 28 points, but by percentage of sets won, Phillipsburg just ahead of Osborne for first place as a team. Osborne finished second. Beloit was fourth as a team. First place finishes for Levy Reiner of Osborne in number two singles, and Annie Kindig and Cheyenne Knoll finished first place in number two doubles for Osborne. A second place finish for Grace William and Claire Mick of Osborne in number one doubles, and also Ashlyn Knight of Beloit finished number second in number one singles. So that's what happened yesterday at tennis. You can find all the results from the Phillipsburg Tennis Tournament, all those volleyball scores if you missed them, other NCAA league scores as well, all posted at ncksports.com here with the high school activities that were taking place yesterday. There is some activity today. The Tescott Cross Country Invitational has actually been moved up to today. And so that'll be Lakeside, Lincoln, Osborne, Pike Valley, Rock Hill, Sylvan Lucas, and Tescott are competing in that from the Northern Plains League in the area. It's a 3 o'clock start time this afternoon in Tescott. So everybody else cross country-wise from the area will be starting tomorrow. And that would include Beloit, Concordia, and St. John's at the Concordia Invitational. And tomorrow we hope to chat with Brad Mason, head coach of the Beloit cross country team. But again, Tescott Cross Country Invitational getting underway today at 3 o'clock for a lot of our Northern Plains League cross-country teams. Also, we have high school football locker room chats coming up tonight. Our first chats with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. Those will begin around 5:15 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, so stay tuned for that this evening. Tomorrow night, we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills around 5:15. So stay tuned for all that. Again, game night coverage on Friday as well as we'll start at 5:40 with the Football Express. Pregame on Katy Country 94 will be at 6:30 as of now, and kickoff at 7 for Rock Hills and St. John's, Tipton, and Mankato. And then again, pushed back an hour there at Beloit. Pregame 7:25, kickoff 8 o'clock, Beloit and Ellsworth on Z96.3 and ncksports.com and the local high school football scoreboard show is at 10:05 Friday night. So that's our broadcast schedule for football today, tomorrow, and Friday.
All right, looking forward to all of that. If you missed our interview with John Betts at Kansas pregame, previewing high school football and focusing on our teams and classifications in our listing area, you can go back and watch listen to that at the Sports Ticket podcast on katycountry94.com. The Chiefs cut their active roster to 53 players yesterday. As we reported yesterday on the Sports Ticket, they traded wide receiver Amir Smith-Marset to the Panthers in a swap of seventh-round picks. Then after the show yesterday, the Chiefs traded a sixth-round draft pick to the Las Vegas Raiders for defensive tackle Neil Farrell, who was a fourth-round pick last year by the Raiders. He wasn't exactly great with the Raiders. At the same time, the Chiefs, I think, have a better coaching staff than the Raiders, and there's maybe a little bit more talent on their defense than the Raiders. So we'll see. It is odd to trade within your division.
Yes, it is.
And then on top of that, a rival, but that's what the Chiefs did. So interesting. Wouldn't it be hilarious if he turns into like an all-pro?
It would.
I would love it. Now, as for the cutdowns, the Chiefs kept seven wide receivers after they traded Smith-Marset. That made it pretty obvious that they were going to keep Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Marquise Valdez-Scantling, Rashee Rice, Richie James, Justin Watson, and Justin Ross. So those are seven wide receivers. Chiefs don't normally keep seven, but those seven earned their spot. Two quarterbacks on the roster to start the season. Blaine Gabbert will be the backup to Patrick Mahomes. Shane Buechele and Chris Oladokun were waived. Now there is a chance that one of them will clear waivers and then would be on the Chiefs practice squad. I think Oladokun's got a chance to be that. It'll be interesting to see if somebody claims Buechele. And I think it is interesting to see what the Chiefs do here. What if Buechele and Oladokun, they both clear waivers? Would they put both of them on the practice squad? You have 16 spots. You know, last year they were. At one point, Oladokun was doing a scout team stuff later in the season, and he presents that dual threat thing, and you see that. Well, a lot of quarterbacks nowadays in NFL, you're seeing more of them be a dual threat quarterback. So, first of all, they got to clear waivers, and then we'll see where we're at. Ika Boydo of K-State, I didn't think he was going to make the team, and he did not as a corner. There are some people earlier saying that they thought he was going to make the team. I didn't quite see it, to be honest with you. But he could clear waivers, and they could be signed to the practice squad, and then maybe he'll be a special teams contributor. I think the surprises to me, you know, fifth-round pick Darian Kennard, who they drafted fifth round last year, he was cut. That surprised me a little bit. LaMichael Perine, I wasn't completely surprised. They released or waived him, even though he had played well this preseason. Maybe he clears waivers and he's on the practice squad. Denarik Prince, I don't think we're surprised by that one.
No.
Tight end Matt Bushman, there is a question whether they carry four tight ends. Well, when you go seven wide receivers, you're probably not going to go four tight ends. But if he clears waivers, he'd be on the practice squad. I would be sure of that. I think maybe slight surprise is 2021 fourth-round pick linebacker defense end Josh Kando, who looked pretty good in the preseason game the other against the Browns. He was cut. Former Jayhawk defensive tackle Daniel Wise was waived. No big surprise there. Safety Deion Bush, six-year veteran who was with the Bears before the Chiefs last year. Center Austin Ryder, who is no longer a starter on this team, obviously, Creed Humphrey. And defensive tackle Danny Shelton was released, which was a little bit of a surprise, but then once they traded for Nick Farrell with the Raiders and Shelton, I think that was okay. We think Farrell's better than Shelton, apparently. And the Chiefs have officially placed defensive tackle Chris Jones on the reserve, did not report list, so he does not count as a roster spot if the Chiefs want to exercise that all the way through the first two games of the season if they want to do that. Nothing new on the Chris Jones front, which, of course, is disturbing to Chiefs fans. So, season opener is 8 days away now. Yeah. Next Thursday against the Detroit Lions. And if the Chiefs lose to the Lions next Thursday without Chris Jones, Chiefs Kingdom will absolutely implode, even though they'll just be 0-1 in 16 games to play. But mark my words, Chiefs Kingdom will go nuts, and they'll all be saying, give Chris Jones $1 billion. He's worth every penny. If they win, but the pass rush isn't very effective, they'll still be all about, we got to have Chris Jones, we're going to have any chance to win this year, which is inaccurate. If you want to win the Super Bowl, your chances enhance if Chris Jones is signed. That's the way to put it. So, if the Chiefs look great defensively and get a pass rush against Jared Goff and the Lions next Thursday night in the NFL season opener, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake, then the narrative might go, well, maybe we don't need Chris Jones as much as we think we do, which would probably be an overreaction as well.
Yes.
But it would give the Chiefs a little bit more leverage. So, and it would cost Chris Jones $1.18 million by not playing in that first game. Whether or not he cares about that, he says he can afford it and can wait till week 8. I don't think it's wise to give up half of an NFL season at the age of 29 in your prime when you're getting paid $20 million to play football this year. I don't think it's very wise. Now, I do understand why he does it. I don't blame him, as I've said many times before. If I were him, I would do the exact, I would probably do about the exact same thing. This is his last chance at a big deal, I think, at the age 29.
Yeah.
And he deserves a big deal, no question. Nobody's even, Brad Beach even agrees with that. The question is how much. And Chris Jones, I'm sure, doesn't want to get franchise tag. So if he plays this year, he don't want the franchise tag slapped on him for next year. So that might be part of the thinking here. I've got to get a deal done now. I can't come back and play for the Chiefs this year with the chance I get tagged. Right? You don't want to be tagged.
No.
Now, you can be disgruntled and hold out and fight everything against being tagged next year. Orlando Brown tried it for a little while. That didn't work out so well. And he gave up an extension opportunity on the table, cost himself some money, then ended up getting franchise tagged. And he got paid handsomely for 1 year, but he didn't have the long-term deal. So I think that's part of the thinking here. I've had people go, well, Chris Jones just needs a report. He's under contract. That's true. He's under contract. $20 million a year. You know, that's not chopped liver. At the same time, If I'm Chris Jones and I come back to the Chiefs, I want it in writing. You're not tagging me at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have that. And if the Chiefs aren't willing to do that, then I understand Chris Jones balking even more. Because Chris Jones, you know, he's 29. Next year he'd be 30. Now the window's closing for him to get that extension and get that 3-4-5 year multi-million-dollar deal and a whole bunch of money up front. So I understand what the Chiefs are doing, and I understand what Chris Jones is doing, and it makes total sense what both sides are doing. And now it's anybody's guess when he's going to get signed, how much it'll be for, who's going to blink first, the Chiefs or Chris Jones. And I don't think there's any doubt that if Chris Jones is not signed by next Thursday, How that game goes next Thursday is going to have some kind of impact on one or the other, maybe blinking.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure. Yeah, I was hoping that this would just not be an issue, right?
Well,
like, is this all going to be done by now?
And
we talked about earlier last week, it's not about like I was hoping it wouldn't be an issue because it's going to be a distraction for the rest of the team. I think they're going to be focused and ready to go. But it's just like I'm tired of talking about it, basically. And I'm tired of reading about it on social media, and everybody's got their takes on it. And most of them don't even know how the business works. And it's just like I'm just tired of seeing all this stuff out there of people that are like, oh, when he comes back, you should just bench him anyway. And I'm like, good idea.
Yeah,
let's pay the guy $30 million and bench him.
Sure.
Total. I'm just like, people
brilliant sports mind fans just
lose their minds. And that was another thing that was happening yesterday when people were getting cut that we knew were going to get cut. Like, why didn't you keep them? What are you doing?
We have 53 spots.
Brett Veach has two Super Bowl championships since he's been here, and I trust what he's going to do with this roster.
Five straight AFC championship games.
Let's kind of trust him.
Maybe.
I think he's doing his job okay.
It's not his first year.
It's decent.
He's decent. Yeah, Chiefs are a decent franchise.
And it's the same situation with Chris Jones, right? Like, let's trust Brett Veach. Let's let him do what he does. There's been no reason for us not to yet. And so It is getting frustrating. It's getting tiring. And if there's issues with that defense and the defensive line doesn't do anything in week one and they have problems and major problems, then that's probably going to be a way for Chris Jones to be like, hey, I think you guys need me. Let's do something here.
He'll probably be signed next weekend and then ready to go to play some against Jacksonville if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
my new prediction is he's going to be signed and ready to go for the Jacksonville game. He's going to miss the first game.
Yeah.
That's my new prediction. And I told you and other people, obviously our listeners, a few weeks ago, or actually even last week, that the time I'm going to start not freaking out, panicking, but the time where I'm going to be really concerned is if he isn't back for the Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
Because I'm not overly worried about next Thursday. Even if the Chiefs lose, I'm not going to freak out about it at all. But if he's, like I said last week, you know, if he misses the Lions game, not the end of the world. If we can get him in to where he can play at Jacksonville, maybe even he doesn't play a full amount of snaps like he normally does, but he's obviously impact. He could be out there 15, 20, 25 plays possibly. That's cool with me. I'm okay to let this play out a little bit longer. I'm not going to go nuts about it like a lot of people. Now, if he misses the Lions and the Jaguar game, now you're sitting here going, is he going to play in September at all?
Yeah.
Then you really start to go, oh my, especially depending on the Chiefs. If they're not doing anything with a pass rush, if they start the year 0-2, that would be the best case scenario for Chris Jones, honestly. Worst case scenario for the Chiefs, but anyway, wouldn't be the end of the world. They'd still come back from 0-2 deficit. But.
No, I find it hard to believe that's going to happen just because Chris Jones isn't out there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, right.
They're going to figure things out. You know, I like we said before, like as long as 15's over on the other side and playing quarterback, I'm going to feel fairly confident this team can win games.
Andy Reid's a coach.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm worried about it a little bit, but I'm going to lose sleep over it.
Like,
until I actually see what happens without Chris Jones on the field, it's kind of useless for me to worry about it.
I agree. Now, the quarterback situation, there are some people kind of worried about that. Listen, they signed Blaine Gabbert to be the backup. That was pretty obvious. Now, Bouchel, I think, pushed and made it interesting there for a while. I do believe that. But I think Gabbert always had the inside scoop, clearly, because of his experience. And I was asked yesterday, before the cutdowns by a Chiefs fan, said, okay, who would you rather have as Mahomes' backup, Shane Bouchel or Gabbert? And I said, Gabbert. I didn't hesitate. I said, Gabbert. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, I wasn't like all excited when Gabbert got signed. But then and he wasn't great the first preseason game, in my opinion, but he's got the stronger arm. He's got a howitzer. He's got a stronger arm. He's got more experience. And I said the wild card for me is Andy Reid's going to make whatever quarterback he has better. He pulled Matt Moore off the street and beat the Minnesota Vikings, nearly beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on a Monday night in the middle of the season after Mahomes' kneecap went to the wrong side of his knee. And Chad Henne was out. So they pulled off Matt Moore. I mean, he can do things like this. All right? He's won with quarterbacks less than Blaine Gabbert, but be quite honest. A game here and there, whatever the case may be. He's resurrected some quarterbacks' careers. So the wild card for me is, even if it was Shane Bouchel or Blaine Gabbert, I have faith Andy Reid's going to get the best out of either one. But if that's the case, I'm going to go with the guy that's experienced. And And granted, Bouchel knows the system a little bit more than Bouchel or the Gabbert probably, because Bouchel was on the team last year, practice squad and everything else, and but Gabbert's first year. But so I'm actually, you know, once I think about the Andy Reid influence and everything, I think, you know, Gabbert definitely has a stronger arm than Chad Henne. And Chad Henne did fairly well as a backup, although it was just little spurts here and there. And hopefully that's all the Chiefs need. So and there's weapons around him. So I'm cool with Gabbert as a backup. But there are some people that want Bouchel to be the backup, and I'm like, well, but there's that inexperience part. He could get more confused by changing of defenses against first-string defenses in a regular season game compared to Gabbert, who's seen some of that stuff. But there was some media person, I don't know where they're from. I don't know if they just – why do people comment – I get fans. They comment, they don't think, they just throw it out there. I get it. Whatever. It's just society today. But when you're in the media, there was this media guy from – I think it was Houston – and he put out there, well, so what's after Bouchel and Aladukin were waived, so what's the plan behind Mahomes?
There's some questions behind.
There's some questions behind. It's like, do you not know that they signed Blaine Gabbert? Do you not know he's on the roster and he's been in the league for quite some time? Like, you might not want to make a dumb, idiotic comment, especially when you're in the media, like that, before you actually check the depth chart.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? You think the Chiefs have one quarterback and that's it? Because that's what he made it out to be. It's like, no, there's no questions. Blaine Gabbert's your backup. He was signed to be your backup. They gave him decent money to be his backup. Chad Henne retired. If we didn't play any preseason football, we already knew what the plan was. Where the hell you been? But he's from Houston. And everything's bigger in Houston, including stupidity. So
fair. It's like the plan was for Blaine Gabbert to be the backup quarterback the day he was signed.
Yes.
Like, this is not
earth-shattering breaking news.
You know, everybody talked about what Shane Bouchel did, and he had a really cool play, right? Like evading players.
Well, Duke had a great play, too.
And then I'm like, just like, he's doing this against third stringers, dude. Mm-hmm. And then when he played against second stringers, did not look great.
Well,
right? Like,
I mean, the Browns were some first stringers and some second. He threw
second,
two picks.
Did not look. One wasn't his fault.
Powell should have
caught it. But the one Thornhill had was definitely his fault, right? Bad throw. And I'm like, I didn't need the first game to change my mind thinking that Shane Bouchel should have been number two over Blaine Gabbert. Right. I never thought it.
Yeah.
And, Blaine Gabbert, it was his first preseason game with the Chiefs and understanding their offense. And I'm like, I ain't going to panic and think Shane Bouchel's a better option than Blaine Gabbert because of this first preseason game. It's the first time he's called plays in Andy Reid's system in an actual game. Mm-hmm. And so it's been Blaine Gabbert for me all along. That's why they signed him. Mm-hmm. I want a guy that's a veteran. Listen, I love Shane Bouchel. I love that he's athletic. I think he's improved a lot since he was in college, right? And he's learned a lot from being with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But it's like there was never any single doubt in my mind. And then the second game comes, and he's dropping throws in a bucket, Gabbert is, and showing how good of an arm he still has. Mm-hmm. And then the in-stride touchdown Amir Smith-Marset in the third preseason game. I mean, you're looking at these plays, and you can tell this dude is an NFL quarterback if he wants to be, and he can be, right? Like, you can tell that this guy has started in games and can do this if you need him to do it. And so I don't know that with Shane Bouchel in an actual game yet.
We don't. Against
and so it's
stringer.
easy for me. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to, like you said, flavor of the week with Shane Bouchel. But common sense was always playing Gabbert. And to this guy that's wondering what the question is with the Chiefs quarterback backup situation, Blaine Gabbert's been that way since he was signed.
Right. And what I was trying to say a week or two ago is that Bouchel is making it a little bit more difficult for the Chiefs and pushing
Gabbert.
And I
don't disagree with that.
Because I think the Chiefs are like, wow, Bouchel, he's playing really well. And I think they were like, okay, maybe we need to figure out a way to keep three. But then once you have seven wide receivers, you're like, okay, well, we got to be less in some other position. And, you know, typically you can get by with only two quarterbacks. Now, the Niners will tell you that's not true after what happened in the NFC title game last year. So I think Bouchel pushed Gabbert a little bit. I think that was a good thing. That was a great thing for Gabbert and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I think they're fine at that position. I'm not worried about that too much. But, you talk about the flavor of the week. LaMichael Perine, he looked really good this preseason. Was he with the first-string offense at any point in time during the preseason?
No.
Was he against first-string defenses at any point in time during the preseason? The answer is no. Do you think he'd do what he did on that breaking three or four tackles against first-string defenders? I don't think so. So people go, he's a flavor of the week, right? We got to have him on the team. He's better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has played against number one defenses for three or four years now. He breaks tackles at times. Maybe you didn't see the hole like you like him to, so forth and so on. And so he's your whipping boy because you thought he was going to be an all-pro at running back because he was the very last pick. You know, Chiefs fans still treat it like he was a top 10 pick.
I know.
He was the very last pick of the first round. Had he gone a pick later at number 33, people wouldn't be able to say he was a first-round pick. And it's only a difference of one pick.
So if Felix struggles, it'll be the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Right? Like,
right.
I don't think he's going to, but if he does, it's going to be the same thing.
But if he's a third-round...
first-round pick, he should be doing better than he's doing.
But he's a third-round pick. It's like, oh, well, you know, he's got time. You know, he'll figure it all out. And then, of course, the other flavor of the week was Amir Smith-Marset, who didn't play. Once again, same situation. He wasn't playing with the ones when the Chiefs offensive line, per se. He was not with the number. He wasn't with Mahomes, I don't think, at all during the preseason. So these players are nice players, and I hope they do well wherever they end up being or going. But we got to remember who they're playing against. All right? We got to remember that. All right, Deuce Vaughn makes the Cowboys roster. We predicted that as soon as he was drafted.
Yeah.
No surprise there. I hear Tyler Lockett made the Seahawks roster.
So I'm shocked about it.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned by that. Do you know of any other KU players that made or didn't make it? I know, obviously, that Daniel Wise was cut by the Chiefs, clearly.
Yeah.
So I don't know of any big time. Ty Zentner was picked up by a team last week.
Signed him, yeah.
I don't know if he made the 53 or not. But so there's a few K-Staters, KU players that are out there, but the most notable one that is flashy, of course, is Deuce Vaughn, and we knew he'd make the team. I did when he was drafted. Sixth-round picks don't always make the team, but he definitely did, and I think he's going to do very good things for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, it's time for K-State in Focus. It's time for K-State in Focus, our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. By the way, former Chief running back Kareem Hunt still does not have a team. I would imagine somebody will pick him up this week.
I would think.
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think. But you never know. And Jonathan Taylor was not traded. So he's stuck with the Colts, and he'll be on the PUP list, and he will not play the first four games of the season. Von Miller, the Bills, coming back from his torn ACL, he's on the PUP list. He'll miss the first four games for the Buffalo Bills. So, and Chris Jones may miss four games or more for the Kansas City Chiefs, but we hope not. High expectations of the K-State football team. They're ranked 16th, I think 15th, 16th, depending on the polls you look at. 17th, I think, in 1-2. They meet Southeast Missouri on Saturday, 6 o'clock kickoff at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Now, an interesting nugget before we play part of the press conference from Chris Klieman yesterday. K-State's week one opponent is Southeast Missouri. Their head football coach, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Tom Matukowicz. I think that's close, was a standout at Silver Lake High School in Kansas. He played linebacker, class of 1992. Good to know. He's a little older than me. He played for legendary head coach C.J. Hamilton, who is the winningest high school football coach in Kansas history. And Coach Took has been great at Southeast Missouri. 3 9-win seasons. They were 9-3 a year ago. He was an assistant coach at Fort Hays State, Emporia State, Pittsburgh State. Apparently, he went through the entire MIAA. Coffeeville, Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, and Toledo over the years until taking over at Southeast Missouri in 2014. So you want to get into the coaching business? Think about that for a second. He was at Emporia State. No, actually, Fort Hays State, Emporia State, Pitt State, Coffeeville, Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, Toledo. It was his 8th school he coached for where he finally got a head coaching job. Now he's been there since 2014. He's a good coach. Southeast Missouri is a decent team. And K-State gets to play them coming up Saturday at 6 o'clock. KU, by the way, will play Friday night, 7 o'clock against Missouri State. And Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will be with us tomorrow to preview that season opener for the Jayhawk football team. But we're focusing on K-State right now, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Chris Klieman and K-State, Will Howard back at quarterback. They're feeling good about that. They like their running back core. They got some young receivers. The offensive line, it is back. That is a big, big, big pro there. They lost a couple of draft picks in Felix and also Julius Brents. They definitely lost some talent on the defensive side of the ball. Various questions asked to Coach Klieman in yesterday's press conference. Another one I thought was kind of interesting is, you know, with the clock not stopping after first downs, does that change the way and the pace you play offensively? You'll have that. You'll hear that question being asked. And Tim Fitzgerald's already worried about 2024 in August, which was kind of interesting. So go ahead and enjoy the next 20 minutes of this part of this Chris Klieman press conference yesterday. If you're a K-State fan, you're really going to appreciate this. If you're not, then you might just be like, yeah, I'll wait and listen to KU tomorrow with Brian Haney, whatever the case may be. By the way, before we play that presser, you want to play fantasy football for free? For free. Doesn't cost you anything. You can be in our radio station Fantasy Football League. We have a few spots available. We'll have the draft sometime next week before the season opener Thursday night between the Chiefs and the Lions. And a winner take all. There'll be some prizes for the winner. Probably some cash as well. So it's a winner take all. Doesn't cost anything. And you get to put your team up against Dusty and me in the same league. And then you can brag that you're smarter and you've got a better team and you're the smartest football fan on live. And Dusty and I are a couple imbeciles. Whatever you want to do. Or maybe we beat you to a pulp and then we can say, yeah, you should have never entered this contest. And there may be some trash talking. I'm not going to tell you there won't be. But it will be fun. I can assure you of that. So, unless your team sucks and you're in last place all year long and you have a horrible draft. But besides that, it's usually pretty fun. So, if you want to play on the Fantasy Football League that we are working on putting together, as long as we have enough people, we got a couple spots left. You can call us at the station, give us a name, your phone number, and your email. That's how we can contact you. 545-3220.